Let's just get into podcast number 41 today with Flo. He's a waterman, and wherever you go in Switzerland or not, if it's windy, Flo is there. And he's doing crazy freestyle tricks. He's enjoying himself. He smiles at you and he helps you. The first time we met, Flo, I didn't know your name, but you helped me with my jibes, with my tags. So that was super helpful. And actually, when I was thinking about maybe starting a podcast, I wrote you on the train. I was like, would you be so kind to come on our show if we ever were to make a podcast? And you said yes. And I was like, 3/4 of a year ago, so a very long time ago, and finally we can do it. And we have a lot to talk about, Flo, today. I want to talk about your lifestyle, about how you organize yourself, because you're on the water all the time when it's windy. And I want to hear of your Defi wing experience, and of course everything that concerns windsurfing, winging, and your parawing experience as well. Flo, just before we start, is there anything you want to add, like to your introduction? Something important that listeners need to know?
That's a very, very good introduction. Thank you very much, Matt and Guy, for the invitation. Well, we didn't manage it before because you're quite busy with your podcast, doing a good job. So finally you have a spot. Me have some time. There's no wind. I'm very happy we changed the appointment from this weekend because we had a crazy weekend here in Switzerland.
Yes.
We were like on the water Thursday night, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's like very, very special for Switzerland, right? And we were on the water the whole day. So
that was so cool. You were from Thursday to Sunday, you were on the water.
Yeah.
Friday to Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Friday morning, I woke up Michi. He was also on your show already. And he came extra down already on Thursday night because I told him, yeah, I think the wind is going to be good only Friday morning. So let's make sure we go early on the water. And I ring him up at 6 o'clock in the morning. Hey, let's go.
Do you have a special line that you can call him? Like, I know he's a dad and he has a very young kid, but you must have like a special connection to him so you can call him that he knows, all right, it's windy, I need to go.
I mean, especially here in Switzerland, the community is so big. So I think whenever there's wind, everybody is reachable or not reachable because we're already on the water. So we even don't need to communicate in Switzerland if we should meet or not because everybody's checking several times a day the wind forecast. So.
Where were you on the weekend? Was it Lake Neuchâtel all the time?
Yeah, Lake Neuchâtel. You know, we have a little mobile home, like a little beach house there on a camping place. So we're always on the spot. So as soon as there's wind, I can be as quick as possible on the water. I don't need to unscrew my stuff. It stays all ready.
Oh,
so
nice.
I don't miss any gust, right?
That is really cool. But I mean, you have so many, you have a lot of gear, right? What do you bring? Like on the weekend, did you do everything? Did you go windsurfing, winging, parawing? Did you do everything or just like winging?
Yeah, this weekend was really a bit special. I would wish that every weekend would be like this. Especially Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I've been starting with Michi with wing foiling. And we have been just equipped with the new wings from Ansys, the Topspin Ace. So we have been just unpacking them brand new. Being careful with our jumps because we don't want to slice them up the first time. And suddenly Michi came up with the idea, hey, what about the para wing? I said, yeah, let's try it. And we just made a little break. That was our breakfast break. After 2 hours on the water, we changed material. And at 8 o'clock, we went upwind. That was really cool for Michi, actually. He was on the wing foil still. Actually, me, I stayed on the wing foil. We went upwind, like I would say 5 kilometers upwind. Michi was working hard to go upwind with his para wing because the wind picked up quite much. And then upwind these 5 kilometers, we changed material on the water. So I took his para wing and he got the wing. Yeah, that was a nice service. Actually, the whole story is funny because it was my first experience. I stayed on my freestyle board. I took a bigger wing. That was the Ansys Infinity, just the bigger one. I think 1,130, something like this. And we went upwind and I tried with my freestyle board, which is really short, the MB board. And I said, well, okay, you give it a try. The gusts were quite strong. So maybe it would lift me up with such a big foil. And indeed, it just lifted me up the first try.
How so much wind did you have? How big was the parawing?
The 4. It's a new Ansys Roger, 4 square meter. And my board was only 78 liters. So it was a bit tricky to pump it up, as you have really Yeah, it's different in your hands. You don't have this bar, you don't have this stiff wing which is holding you. So in between you have some little gaps of wind. And yeah, it was the beginning was a bit tricky, but yeah, it worked out. And the most funny is that Michi did everything. So he teached me, he was filming me with his cam, and he was just staying behind me like 2 meters, telling me, "Hey, you have to do this, you have to do that." And then suddenly I was up on the foil. That fits to your name. I like your podcast
Awesome.
name.
Ding.
I was up on foil, and then I wanted to how you say, storage the para wing, but I
Stow it
had no idea.
away,
Yeah, I had no idea how to do it. I never did it. I never had a para wing in my hand, even not on the parking or never. So I thought, okay, I just grab it somehow. And it's so funny because I had my 360, my GoPro with me, and you just see lines in front of the camera, and I try to stow it somehow. And but yeah, it worked somehow. It looked a bit funny. I will drop the video soon, but yeah. And then he gave me advice from just 2 meters behind me. He was filming with one hand, in one hand the wing foil, falling behind me and giving me advice. Yeah, that was cool.
But you know, the lines around the GoPro, that's an authentic para-wing image. But you know what's funny? On Sunday, I had the same exact thing with Michi again. Because I was at Lake Sempach and I went down. I have his old his para-wing that he made himself, the 3 meter from the like version one. And I went downwind. I have a longboard, so it's easier for me to pump it up. And when I arrived there, we just made some turns and we really like Sempach. You know, like Sempach, super small lake, but we were actually able to downwind that lake. Like, stowing the para-wing away, surfing the waves was crazy. But then I couldn't go back up because I didn't have a harness and I had like a 1.5 wing session in the morning. My arms were already quite done and I didn't bring like a harness with me. So I couldn't go back upwind with the para-wing because it was like maybe. What was it? 22, 25 knots of wind, so too much for me, really, without harness. And then I put the para-wing like inside my life jacket, and he lent me his wind wing, and I went upwind with his wing. So it's kind of the same story. Mickey is
Same.
just there for us. That's so cool.
He's going to open a business. He's making an upwind taxi.
Yeah. But on the water, not shuttle like road shuttle. That's terrible.
Yeah, and then actually the weekend continued like this after we stayed again on the wing foil, and then Sunday, no, Monday it was still the no, sorry, Sunday was still the whole day wind, much longer than expected. So normally it's always the opposite. They announce wind till 1 o'clock, but actually it stops already at 10 or at 11. So everybody's disappointed, and everybody was rushing like, oh yeah, they say it's windy only till midday 1 o'clock. So let's rush, let's enjoy. And actually the wind stayed non-stop till 5, 6 o'clock in
And
the
it got
evening. That was
stronger.
yeah, it turned a little bit west and then it got stronger. It was really, really good. Our
Awesome.
spot was looking like there were, honestly, I think there were 50 kites, 50 wings, 10 windsurfers. It was great.
How was the seaweed situation?
It's fine still now.
All
It's
right, good.
really no problem yet,
It will
not
though.
yet. And then funny enough, Monday it continued. We had no wind anymore, but everybody was here. Many were sleeping in their camper, and we were pump foiling. And
Nice.
I went to the dock. They made a new dock. I think you heard it already in
Yeah.
Port-Aimon in Lake Neuchâtel. And actually, there were five, six, seven, maybe till 10 guys doing the whole day pump foiling. And everybody was making like a few rounds and then saying, "Hey, my legs are totally dead from the last 3 days." And yeah, there was a good weekend, yeah.
Very good weekend. So we're all in already. That's super cool. And now it was a weekend. Obviously, that was helpful for me to get on the water, but for you, it doesn't matter that much. I feel like whenever it's windy, it doesn't matter the day, you're on the water. And I want to address that real quick. How do you organize that? What kind of job do you have where you can be as free as you are?
Yeah, that's true. But I'm saying very clearly, work hard, play hard. That's really, really, really important. I'm a wood engineer, specialized in wood constructions. So I'm working in the office, calculations, statics. And so we are working for projects, for very big projects. So I'm not having any projects which need to be ready in 5 days, you know. So we have like big projects, several weeks time to organize this. And I'm trying to work in advance, to be able, if in case there's wind, to quit earlier. But as soon as there's wind, the project is not finished. I'm in the office at 5 o'clock in the morning, so I still have time in the afternoon to surf.
Very nice, very cool. And was that when you applied for that job? Did you inform them that That's how you work.
That's so funny. It's written in my contract.
If it's too weird, I don't sign here.
So actually, we're joking always. Actually, I should keep the same contract and moving somewhere like south of France or Hawaii. Every time there's wind, I have off.
2 hours, 2 hours working.
Or to you, you have a good, you're in Cyprus, right?
Yeah, not at the moment, but yeah, in Cyprus, we do get good wind from pretty much, May until September. Yeah.
We're heading to Rhodes in next Wednesday, actually, in 1 week. Tomorrow, yeah. In 1 week, we go to Rhodes Island. It's just next to you, kind of.
Yeah.
Make it downwind from Rhodes to Cyprus, right?
Yeah. from Rhodes to Cyprus. Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Well, now, yeah, you have that pairwing experience. Sure, let's. You can do it now. But so you're on the water here all the time. Then you have Rhodes, and you have like family members there or something similar. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, exactly. We go regularly to Rhodes, actually, as minimum once a year. As much as we can, because it's the brother of my wife. He's running the pro center there. He has a winter school there, which is, of course, now since 4 years also fully into wing foiling, as it's blowing up like crazy. And I guess soon it's going to be para winging. I don't know how you can do it in schools, as you're based in one spot, but maybe you can arrange with some taxis or I don't know what. But the wing foiling picked up very much there. And Gael, you know what, it's... like he just said, it's from spring, late spring, the whole summer on, it's everyday wind, thermical winds. And of course, you can have big days, like 30 knots, but most of the time it's easy conditions, let's say. Yeah, 20 knots, it's perfect for windsurfing, easy windsurfing, and for wing foiling is all day long. Yeah. I'm in the water at 6, 7 in the morning, then I'm making a break at 9 for breakfast, and after I'm going back on the water there all day, every day.
But you're not working there as an instructor. You're there on vacation.
I've been working there actually. That's how I met my wife. I've been working there for 2 years as a windsurf instructor. Unfortunately, winging was not on that time. And that's how I got in contact there. How I met my wife. Then we moved to Switzerland, and now we go back every year to visit the family there. Yeah.
Also, it was no surprise for her that you're on the water all the time.
Yeah, actually, it's the opposite. The whole family is supporting 100%.
That's very nice.
They know this sickness, this addiction of wind sports.
Well, let's get into that then. I think we just lost Gael, but he's going to come back. So you have Rhodes, where you go on vacation. What else do you have planned in the year? We're going to talk about the Defi Wing that just happened. What else do you have planned for the year?
Actually, a plan for the year most of the time is just being able to go on the water whenever there's wind, wherever there's wind. Most of the time, of course, in Switzerland, all around, as we're based in Bern, it's quite close to every lake we have here in Switzerland, apart Silvaplana, that's maybe a bit further. I've never been there, actually, so maybe this weekend is going to be the first time for me.
Really?
As there's the Enzensengadin wind. So we're going to go up this weekend. But otherwise, I'm always on the lakes here. Once a year we go to Rhodes, and then once a year we make another trip, of course, for wind and waves. But that's really depending on the spots, on the time of the year when we go, and that's always spontaneously.
All right, so what I learned from this now is that whenever I have a job interview, I need to put in my contract that if there's wind, I need to be able to like take off and maybe like work later or before. That's good to know. I noted that down. That's cool. When you go to Lake Silvaplana, I heard that the lake is 7 degrees. It's really cold. You're going to bring your wetsuit. And when I look at your Instagram, you are affiliated with MB Boards and Soros as well, and Enzis. How did that Soros thing came to play?
That was very funny, actually. I'm working with Soros together. I'm very happy about it since 1 year, 1.5 year now. And I've had already Soros before, and I got to know them through the internet. I was looking for a new wetsuit, just reading about it. And actually, I like the idea very much that they use this ecological neoprene, that they use, the shells, the oyster shells, instead of stone limestone. and I like the idea very much. So I just bought a Saurus, and that was 5-6 years ago already. So my Nivo was not that high. That was just in the beginning of my wing foiling sports, let's say, as I was only windsurfing, and we're not windsurfing that much in Switzerland. And then came up the whole foil story. So I was windsurf foiling after windsurfing because I couldn't stand anymore on the beach waiting for wind while all the kites or wind foilers were having fun, and me, I was still waiting for 5, 6, 7 knots more. And I gave it a try, this windsurf foil. And I liked it very much. It was really fun. We spent so much time on the water, even in the summer, in nice weather, you could go on the water, you could train. And the same time, your Nivo was getting better as you spent more time on the water. And then one more step was the wing foil stuff coming up. And then I could train even more. And also in wing foiling, for me, it felt much easier to make freestyle moves than with the windsurf foil gear. It felt for me like a little bit difficult to make windsurf foil freestyle. And also the crashes are not very nice. So as soon as I touched the wing foil gear, I felt free. I could jump, I could turn, I could do a lot of things, which felt easy. Then I just needed to practice to land them, to have all my tricks on lock. And I became better, and I started to apply for some team rider partnerships. And of course, I was so surprised how good Soros wetsuits are working. So I tried to get in contact with them, and it worked out.
And yeah, bring a good one to Silopla, that's for sure. Are you going to take part in the races as well?
They started today, right? Wing foil
races. Long distance one, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But they have also like fun races and also freestyle competitions. I mean, fun competitions. So yeah, on the freestyle will take place. And I'm looking forward. First time for me up there in Engadine. The whole team from Ancestors is there. Lots of people again doing the same sports, like at the Diffie Wing. And yeah, I'm looking forward.
So when you go to Lake Silopland and you do this freestyle tricks, you said before when you started, you didn't have the level yet. Maybe we can talk, or you can tell us about your like upbringing in sports. If I recall correctly from the Foil Life podcast, that you were a football soccer player as a kid, and a good one at that. So that certainly helped that you have good coordination. But when you say my level was not that high, what did that mean? Because I mean, it always depends who you compare yourself to.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, first of all, I haven't been really active in social media. I was not focusing on making pictures, taking pictures, I was trying to lend tricks or make cool moves, but I haven't had anything on video, on photos, or video were even more difficult because I was not landing my tricks. So you cannot really make videos. While I learned, I think my first video, which was quite cool, was my first try learning the front loop in windsurfing. And that was in Lake Uri, you know, when there's the very strong mountain wind. And actually I thought, if I don't try something today new, like the front loop, I will never try. So now I do it or I will stop actually. And I tried in 40 knots, the front loop. And it was my first kind of video, which was quite cool. And it worked out because it was so many hard crashes that people liked it. So I could have maybe started earlier because I made a lot of crashes. And suddenly I started to land the first
Is
tricks.
Is that on Instagram?
Yeah, sure. It was in the Windsurfing TV as well. You know, from Ben Profit, Windsurfing TV.
No.
Send it Sunday sessions.
Not familiar with that.
That's funny. Send it Sunday sessions. That's many, many videos from all over the world. People are sending in their videos from their crashes, from their tries, trial and error. And it's a quite funny video. I don't know if he's still doing it, but regularly every Sunday he put out one video of Send it Sunday sessions. And I've been in there. And actually he was more surprised by my wife being behind the camera because she's making funny noise when she's filming me seeing me to crash so hard. She's like, oh no. So yeah, he was laughing about this.
That helps a lot. All right, well, here I see you falling off. All right, I'm gonna go through your Instagram, and maybe we can link it as well, or just like show it for all the people who are watching. But let's talk about a front loop, because I was in Fuerteventura as a younger let's say man or maybe older boy, whatever. And I took one class once and I wasn't sure if I do the air jibe or the front loop. And then I was kind of scared. I still am pretty scared. And then I said, all right, let's try the air jibe. And the other guy said, no, no, the front loop is easier. You just need to take your balls and put them up here and then do it.
It's would you exactly agree? This. Yeah, it's exactly this. Actually, because I was kind of frustrated, every time before a session, I said, okay, today I'm going to try something new. The front loop, the back loop, whatever. Today I try something new. Then I was on the water and it's like, I don't know. Maybe next time. Yeah. Maybe in 1 hour. I don't want to break my gear. Let's see. And then this time I was so frustrated that I said, no, you have to do it now. Or you break yourself or you break your material, but today you have to try it. And I tried it and actually it started to turn so easily while it was, you just, like you just said, brain off, pull the sail and go for it.
It's a commitment thing, right?
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
I think I saw you at like Neuchâtel when I was winging, super strong winds. I was out with a 5 meter. It was like 2 years ago. And you went out with the wing. Then you came in, took your windsurf here and just like front flip, front flip, front flip. Well, all over, non-stop. Like all the time. Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
God, we lost you before.
Yeah, I was asking about the Defi wing. We touched on that. And I was curious, like, how is it sailing with 600 people? Like,
yeah.
I'm not sure how enjoyable that is, but...
Yeah, that's a very good question. Actually, I was thinking the same like you. So the last few years I didn't win because in windsurfing, first of all, I'm not into slalom, into race. So in wingfoiling, I thought, okay, the difference is maybe not that different, that big between race gear and freestyle gear. And I don't need to be a professional in racing. So I will just give it a try. We have a very good friend who is living down in Le Cat. It's just like half an hour from there. And we anyway... organized with her that we spent 2 weekends to her or 2 weeks to her, and the same time it was the Defi wing. So I said, hey, why not give it a try? We've been there with the team from ANSYS this year, and I went just for a try. And then I got some race equipment, but just like 1 week before, and of course in Switzerland there was no wind to train. So I trained 1 day, 2 days before, 2 days before the first race. I had some wind in Le Cat. And I tried the first time the race gear.
What was that? Okay. What gear was it?
Just a longer mast, 95 centimeter, and a 540 square centimeter front wing from ANSYS. Also the maniac.
Was that easy for you?
I was thinking like with my 85 kilos, it's going to be very hard to make it come up. But as there's always this tramontane so strong, yeah. 30, 35 knots, it's going to be no problem. But actually the wind was quite friendly there with us. It was not that powerful. And also the 540 was super easy to pump it up. It was really going well. We had sometimes like 20, 25 knots. I was still on a 4550 wing.
Okay.
And it was not so difficult. It was really, I was very surprised. And it has a great, great speed.
And the long mast?
Yeah, 95 centimeters, yeah.
How is that, like having a longer mast?
Yeah, that's kind of necessary. But I was maybe not used to enough because the pro and also the really good racers, they're really surfing with their foil just like 5 centimeters under the water surface. And Mia was still on the freestyle motors, like nicely 20
safety
centimeters.
First.
Yeah, safety first, don't crash. So yeah, maybe I lost some speed here, but it was a super great first experience. We're sure that we're going to go back next year. And also, like I just said, I'm not trying to motivate people, but when people are asking, yeah, I don't know, how is it for me? It's really for everybody. And at the end, the results, they really don't count. Even the pros, they are just so easy there. You talk to everybody. It's a super nice atmosphere. A big, big shout out also to the organization there. Not only on the beach, also on the water. There's a huge security on the water. That's also very, very impressive to see. And because the wind is offshore, right?
Yeah.
So if you have a problem, it brings you out on the ocean. So they have to make sure that there's a lot of security. And one experience was quite, we have been finishing our last race. There was
how many days were you racing? Was it like 2-3 days and one race a day, or how was that organized?
Yeah, it was 3 days. 3 days of racing. We arrived the first day and we had two races. The second day we made 3 races a day, and the last day 2 races again, as there was the prize giving in the afternoon.
And how long was the race?
Yeah, each sorry. Race was going about the first one like 32 kilometers, and then after they went forward to make a 50 about 50 kilometers race.
Wow!
So there was yeah. But it's amazing. It's really amazing. The vibes are good. It's really a nice atmosphere. Everybody's stoked before and after. So that's I like it very much. It's really really cool. And actually, when the race was over, I mean the whole event, all the windsurfers came up. So the parking was full of wing foilers, which were still there, windsurfers coming up already. And actually, the windsurfers, they were a bit unlucky. It was not that much wind this year for them. But the first day of their event, there was no race organized for them. They just made spontaneously a fun race. So even the windsurfers came on the water, and we were still on the water, not competing, but still having fun on the water. And I went out with my wife. She's not wing foiling yet. Not yet.
Good.
And she was on the windsurf, and we went out together. And suddenly we just made a break. We sit down. We watched all those windsurfers. We could not see the beach anymore. It was so many sails. It was really impressive to see. And we sit on the board just having a little chat. And honestly, not 30 seconds after, there was a jet ski next to us. Hey, guys, everything fine with you? Just for security reasons.
All right. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's impressive. It was really, really well organized. From the shops, the food, the security on the water, big party afterwards in the evening, was amazing. So, Gael, you have to also try to go there next year. It's really amazing.
I'm actually thinking about going, because a friend of mine went. He's a little better than me, but we still both are quite amateurs. But he said it was a super experience as well. But I want to go into your experience more, because you said you had that small front wing. Did you use a especially long tail for more stability? What stab were you using? Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. I had a longer fuselage, so I mean a longer tail. And it was, I even don't know, 700 centimeters, I think, all in all. So it was for the freestyle, I used a shorter one. For the race, I had a bit of longer one. And I had the 170 and the 170 stabilizer from ENCES. Mm-hmm. All in all, the foil was not feeling that much difference to my freestyle gear, as it was really smooth and good to control. It was really not like before. I was thinking, but I'm not used to this, I cannot do it, I never tried it. But actually it was really really fine. It's just the way how you surf it, I think. And also, as you said, your friend is a bit better than you, or you're better than him. Honestly, it doesn't count there. It's just about the fun on the water. That's so, so cool.
But we talked about like being scared. And if I imagine, like, first of all, the start looks scary. You want to be in front, because when you're in the back, sometimes people weren't even able to get on foil because the wind was so bad after the first ones. But the ones going full speed behind that boat after the rapid start, that they just crashed after they hit the wave of the boat. That looks so scary. And if you have like hundreds of foilers focusing on themselves, they're probably gonna run you over. Weren't you scared at all?
Well, that's a funny story also. Everybody was talking about this, as it was my first try, my first year there. The first start, I thought exactly like you, oh man, I have to be careful. Should I be upwind, downwind? Should I go further downwind? But there's all the pros, so should I stay in the middle? Should I go upwind? I don't know yet. So actually, I just tried to hook on the time to check the time, what time the boat is leaving, because you have a 60 minutes countdown. And I was really ready, and I prepared myself in mental and let's go for it. It's going to be fine. And like 30 seconds before the boat started, my harness broke. So actually, I was not afraid, but I was thinking so much about this start. So my harness broke, and I was thinking like, okay, are you going to do now 32 kilometers race without harness, or do you run back to the beach, losing 5 minutes and trying to catch back? That's what, if I break, it was my first race. If I break my arms now, just going without harness,
no,
you run back to the beach. But you had to walk a little bit because the beach is quite shallow. So you had to walk into the water like 100 meters maybe. So I foiled back all the way to the beach, trying to not touch the floor, unscrewing my boom, putting a new harness line, going back on the water. The boat was gone already. Everybody was gone. And I just started myself totally easy. So
That's a good first race. Yeah.
And so I started totally alone. I was totally disturbed, totally annoyed, and negative mood. But actually, they stopped the time. You have like a GPS tracker, and they stopped the time as soon as you pass the starting line. Your time is counting.
Nice.
But I didn't know this before. Yeah, so you're anyway making your race for yourself, let's say.
Okay.
And we were like 590 who take part of this race. And the first race, when I started 5 minutes later than the other ones, I became 250, I think. So I was saying, okay, it's still in the better half. That's okay.
That's so nice. Because, well, for the first race, that wasn't an issue. But maybe for the second race, because we know from pump foiling, but also from winging and now downwinding, when you are in the track of someone else's foils and mast, it is super hard to control your foil. How is that with winging? Is that a little less because you have like pressure on in the wing as well? Or is it the same thing? And I imagine if you have 550 in front of you, then the water is going to be super hard to manage.
Yeah, that's true. I feel the same when I'm just surfing for fun here. But I think there in Diffy, everybody has kind of a small front wing. So maybe okay. It creates much less turbulences. I haven't think about it very much. But as you mentioned it now, I think there's less turbulences. The most difficult part I had was really when you're with everybody starting together or taking somebody over or you get taken over. It's more the turbulences from the wing in the air, but not the front wing in the water. That's more disturbing because you're like full speed hanging in your harness and somebody's passing you or you pass somebody downwind. Then it's really creating turbulences from the wing in the air. And that's more disturbing because if you're at 54 kilometers an hour and there's suddenly a little change, you might crash.
Crazy. That's crazy. What kind of wind wing were you using? Like a special double skin whatever thing?
No, we had the new Topspin Ace. We blow them up. You can put more pressure in there. We blow them up quite strong, and it was working very fine. We were not using a double skin, and it was working very well.
Very nice. But if you would want to win, you would have to ride a double skin.
I mean, the top riders, for sure, they're using a double skin. I'm not sure if all the top riders are on a double skin, actually. I think it's very much about the technique, about your riding your foil. That's really more important than having the power from your wing, I think. Because the wind is blowing normally quite strong. And if you're on a 4 meters, square meter wing, I'm not so sure if this is making a big difference.
Was there a guy with a parawing I saw online with a big parawing?
Yeah, sure.
Attending the race and
there were two actually, and actually it was insane because
the Balz top riders was one of them.
Balz was also one of them, of course, yeah. But I think the one you were talking about also was the one who even won the race. He won the first race, and actually we said afterwards it was like a little discussion there, and I think they also started a little discussion in Instagram and Facebook, like a votation: does it count for wing foiling or not? And it was like a kite with short lines, actually. It was really a kite with low lines and was impressive because even if it doesn't count for wing foiling, but his speed was impressive, really impressive. He's not even going with the top riders. He was just passing them like nothing else.
That's crazy.
But yeah, so I think that anyway, soon is going to be the Diffy kite, Diffy wind, Diffy wing, and Diffy para wing. That's going to pop up for sure.
Oh, very nice. But you're going to keep going with the wing.
We'll see. Open for everything as soon as I can go in the water.
Very
but
nice.
I wouldn't do the pump foil Diffy. 52 kilometers pump foil Diffy. That would be too crazy.
Well, there's probably just one who can do it anyway. But let's talk about like the second or third race. Were you trying to get in front on the line? And then my next question would be like where you jibe. How difficult is it there? Because yeah, you have to like lift your wing to see if anyone is lying there, and you have to go around them. Or is it just like, all right, they're able to jibe anyway, and I'm gonna go for it?
But I've been trying out a different technique. The second run I made it a bit, you know, all the top riders, they're starting quite downwind in the start, at the rabbit start. They start directly behind the boat, and then more you go upwind, less people there are. So the second start, I was starting in the middle, kind of, and was actually fine. I was trying to really catch the boat just behind. And the turbulences from the boat, you just have to be a bit careful, but it worked also. Again, because of the foil, it's so stable that you don't feel it that much, actually. And then after I went even the next race, I went further downwind with everybody together. That was a bit scary, it's true. especially that they're really, really close to you. You even don't see the boat coming, as there's so many people downwind. You just see wings, and you see that they're going to speed up. They speed up, and you don't know where's the boat, and you don't know when is it coming. So you just go for it, and suddenly, just like 2 meters in front of you, is the boat passing in with 40 knots. So, yeah, it's a bit tricky, but once you have done it, it's like it's fine. It's really fine. Of course, you always hope there's no bad crash. I was not in a crash involved, luckily. But then it's fine. Once you did it that close to the boat, it's very fine.
And then the jibe. I saw some videos of people who went into the jibe, and as they were going for 25 kilometers or 20 kilometers one way, then your legs are so sore that you don't really are flexible enough to jibe. Was that the same with you, or was that no problem?
I was lucky with my jibes, because that's where I could catch up the most places, kind of. I was just taking a lot of distance, and you have to jibe around two buoy. Yeah. So I made a huge turn around the first one, cut into the second one, and that's how I gained some places, how I win some places, and luckily I didn't fail. That's most of the time the most important, that you just don't crash. Otherwise, it's directly 50 people passing you. But it's also true that because it was long distance races, after this 10 kilometers, it's already quite sought out. So you don't need to imagine, Nate, that you make the jibe with 500 people.
Okay.
It's kind of, I made the jibes. We were like 30, 40 people maybe. So that's okay.
All right. Oh man, all right, I'm going to check the calendar, because it sounds like fun.
I've just checked quickly the website again. And as they make also many, many pictures, and they give them after for your social medias. And I've just checked on their website again, and they put already the dates from 2026. So make sure to sign in.
All right. I'm going to do that as soon as the pod is over. Oh, shit. Oh, I'm scared already. And you're going to go there for sure next year.
Yeah. 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 Nice. Yeah, I loved it. It's really good.
All right. I think
warm temperatures, warm water.
Indiana is coming out with a 95 centimeter mass as well, so that is probably needed, huh?
the good way to test it there. That's true.
All right, very good. So we touched on the Defi wing. We took some detour, but that's fine. We talked about your upbringing, sports wise. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about your childhood, about where you were born, and please. Because I just call you Flo, your last name. Can you just like pronounce it so we can all try to pronounce it correctly?
Yeah, sure. It's Kroza. Flo Kroza comes from the west part of Switzerland. Actually, I took the name of my wife, as she is from the west part of Switzerland, in the French part of Switzerland. And my birth name is Van der Giet. It comes from Holland, from the Netherlands, as I was born in Germany, but very close to the Dutch border. Just like 5 kilometers from the Dutch border, and my grandparents were coming from the Netherlands.
So that's why I have van der Giet.
Yeah, all exactly. Right. Exactly. Right. So yeah, I've been growing up there, maybe you know, close to Düsseldorf, west part of Switzerland, direction of the Dutch border. And I've been growing up there, maybe like 80% of the boys growing up there, starting to play football. My father was very into football, was even my coach, our coach after, yeah. And yeah, keep going on with football till I was 16 years old. And I played quite good. I was lucky enough that like a scout was finding me to change clubs, and I became better. And then after, I had a little difficult time to decide, as I had to start my traineeship, if I want to start a job or going to study further. And my parents were pushing me more in the normal way and not into the sporty way, as there's a million of boys playing football in Germany. I mean, all over the world as well.
Yeah.
And they were more focused on the safe way. So I started an apprenticeship as a carpenter. And it was quite difficult, because I had 3 times a week training. And the club where I was playing afterwards, when I was playing in a better niveau, I needed to take the train to go for my training 3 times a week. And because the training was starting at 7 o'clock already in the evening, I had even no time to come back from job home, eat something, go to the train by bicycle, and go to the training. So my coach was picking me up one station before to go to the football field. And then the way back was the same. He had to bring me quickly to the train station, and I was not home before 11 o'clock in the evening.
Wow.
I was only 15 years old, so that's even a bit difficult. And the next morning at 6 o'clock, I had to go to job again. So that was three times a week this. Saturday, I was having the matches, and Sunday, sometimes tournaments. And at the end, it became quite stressful, which I didn't realize, but it became stressful. And then by any luck, I've been going on holidays with a group of younger people, younger kids who were like 13, 14, 15 years old. And it was from a sailing club. And this sailing club, there were some windsurfers with. And we went to the Netherlands on a big lake, actually. It's a very big lake, but salted water. And they were sailing with their gear, and the windsurfers bring their own windsurfing gear. And I was totally impressed from this world. I mentioned before that I was impressed from this surfer sitting in front of me in the bus, watching like magazines from Robbie Nash, Hawaii, windsurfing, waves. And me, I was like, I'm playing soccer. So boring, actually. I want to be in this
and
world.
You're so
of...
right.
Yeah. I want to be in this world. But for me, it was just like a dream. It's not possible because we have no waves. We have no, I mean, surfboards. I've never seen a surfboard before. So for me, it was a dream. And then suddenly, during the holidays, we spent 2 weeks there. During the holidays, there was not really much wind for the windsurfers. And we talked a little bit, and they said, hey, you're quite sporty, apparently. Do you want to test our gear? And yeah, I went on the water with their windsurfing gear, which was already, I mean, they were not beginners. They knew how to surf. They knew how to jibe, jump. So they were really good, actually, already. And I had material which was much too small for me as a beginner. And was funny. I went out on the lake, was working very well, very funny. I failed a few times, of course. But then suddenly I had to turn back and I didn't know how to come back. So I said, man, this is actually so complicated. Then I had to come back by boat. They picked me up. But they were happy or bored on the beach because there was no wind for them. And they were happy that I was so motivated that they kept training or showing me how it works. And I tried further and further and it worked out and I became addicted. And then I came back home and I gave up the whole football, soccer career. I said, no, that's not for me anymore. I want to be in this surf sport.
How did your parents and also your peers react when you said that you wanted to stop playing soccer as you were involved very much into that?
Yeah, he was shocked. Actually, anyway, it was a difficult decision and he thought already that I'm not going to continue very much. He also asked me already a few times the question now for me, or I have to go to like a, how do you say, like a sports internat, yeah. Like a sports school, or continuing playing football for fun, playing soccer for fun, doing my normal lifestyle. So for me, it was not really, I didn't want to play soccer anymore just for fun. I really wanted to keep my niveau or to get even better. But for this, I anyway had to change school. I had to make a sports school and I didn't have that much support for my family. So it was not fitting altogether somehow. And then anyway, for me, it was not any more difficult decision as I met exactly in this kind of tricky moment. I met these water sports and I knew directly I would stop everything. I don't need to continue. I even don't need to think about it. I will go into these water sports. And yeah, I'm very, very happy about it.
Very nice. Do you have siblings? Do you have brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I have a brother. He's 11 years younger than me.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, that's very, very cool. Yeah.
What was his path? Did he also start doing water sports?
No, he started like me, soccer. He's playing soccer, and we will see what's going to be in the future.
Yeah, winging is also for older guys, so that's good.
Yeah, you can start any age. 31.
All right, you're still young as well.
31. Stay some time, yeah.
How did that evolve from the first time you went on a windsurf board? Like, were you able to then practice in Düsseldorf?
Yeah, exactly. There was like a small lake, like an artificial lake. And because we had a good contact with all the people there, and also there was the surf teacher with in these holidays, but he saw my motivation and he said, hey, if you really want to continue, gear was expensive. I mean, gear is still expensive. And I had no idea about the gear. I had no idea where I can watch some or find some used gear or whatever. And they just proposed me from themselves. I can come every Wednesday as they have the school day there. They had some gear to borrow and I could use it for free. So I went every Wednesday, during the winter, I went all the time. Even if there was no wind at all, I went there to just be on the board.
Nice. And how
and
old
yeah.
were you then? 18, 19?
No, 15. I started with 15.
Oh, 15. All right.
Yeah, it was exactly in between football and yeah, when I started windsurfing, was like 15 years old. But yeah, it was difficult because I had really only the Wednesday. And of course, there was never wind exactly the Wednesday when I had the time. Yeah. And yeah,
and
after
that's...
job, yeah, exactly the normal way after job is difficult to find some water sports possibilities.
So that's how you learned that you have to discuss. Yeah, we already touched that.
You got traumatized.
Yeah. And then with this group, and then with this group, we went very often to the ocean in Netherlands, regularly, a weekend or even for one day. It was 2 hours, 2.5 hours driving. So we went even for one day all the way
Where
there.
Where did
surfing.
We go to? I was just in the Netherlands, just out of curiosity.
Okay, Paulsdam, it's very well known.
Ah, yeah. Is it like where they have the Delta Plan dam thing?
Nearby, yeah. Nearby. There's like a huge surf center also. You have one side the sea and one side like a lake also again with salted water.
Yeah.
It's a Grevelingen Meer. And the Paulsdam is a huge, huge scene water sports. Yeah, we went there all the time. Cool.
Very nice, very cool.
And then it picked up more and more. And suddenly I had the dream of becoming a windsurf teacher. That was also just a dream. My grandfather told me, you're watching too much TV. It's like, you cannot do this. But it worked out somehow. And that's how I actually came to Rodos.
All right, then we have the full circle. And you're a teacher. I told the listeners before that we met you teaching me, actually. And I still struggle on my attacks, also because I've been doing a lot of other things than winging. Like in 2025, this year, I've been winging maybe 2 or 3 times only. And that's like 1.5, 2 hours. Could you walk me through the tack again? Like, what should I do? Should I first switch my feet or not? Should I start on my strong side and then finish on my weak side or the other way around? When should I remember that he's telling me that I should take the wing over very early. Could you walk me through the tack again, please?
Yeah. You said that you've been windsurfing before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I see this very often also in the jibe or whatever, jibe or tagging. The windsurfers, they're doing a little bit wrong. As in windsurfing, you try to hold the sail as long as you can, you try to keep the power as long as you can to stay powered up to make the jibe. And in wing foiling, actually it's the opposite. You can throw your wing behind you very, very early to don't have any pressure in the sail, just focus on your foil to turn around. So actually I think I gave you exactly this tip when you were jibing, right, in Portobo when we met. I saw you trying to jibe and you were holding your wing all the time, and actually I just told you, let it go first, just do the jibe with one hand, let the wing go and focus on the steering of your foil of your board, and it worked out directly. And actually in the tack is the same thing. I would start with your strong side as you feel comfortable. Also, if you can ride switch already comfortable in switch, you can also start with switch as it's easier to bring the wing behind you and you're directly in the right position. But it's all about speed. You have to take up some speed, and then really when you start to carve in, you really have to throw the wing directly behind you. You should not wait having power into your wing or hold it into your wing, because then you're too late. Everything needs to be quick. You can throw the wing just behind you, start to turn, and very important, grab the wing directly again and put it in front of you. As you power it up directly again, it keeps you pulling into the other direction. Just need to be comfortable or riding switch before or riding switch afterwards.
I'm more
That's
comfortable
a bit tricky thing.
Riding switch before. I'm not super comfortable riding switch anyway, but before is a little bit better than afterwards. Also, I think a boom helps. I'm always playing with the material, but I think a boom is easier because I remember like trying to reach for that handle. I just miss it all the time. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. As soon as I had the first topspin with the boom wing, I didn't want to touch anything else anymore. While I still have an old 4.6, I think everybody knows it. It's more tape than anything else, because I'm trying to do all my first try jumps with this one, because I don't want to break my material. And this one still has soft handles. And it's true, I don't like it at all anymore. It's so comfortable to ride with a boom. The rigid handles are also the same style. It's very cool. But I like the boom because you can just grab it everywhere. Even if you make a little mistake, you want to, like you just said, you want to catch it, you can catch it anywhere. You can grab it anywhere.
It's just a little less handy when bringing it somewhere.
That's true. You have to unscrew it.
Oh, you have to unscrew it.
Yeah, I
Oh,
unscrew it always so
no.
I can bend my wings, storage
Oh,
them away.
shit. Whoa,
But if it's
like
in the foil
seriously.
bag.
All right. And then you have a bear in the background. The dog is always coming with
Take her.
you.
Okay, she's
All
eating something, but she will come back after.
right, so nice, so nice.
It's our bear.
Are you going to continue with the parawing?
Yeah, sure. First, I was a bit like not so motivated because first, actually, it started all with this downwind subfoiling. I think it's cool,
Can
but
you do it?
as I never tried it. I even never tried it because I really don't like the way that we have to take the train while there's wind to lose 20 minutes a day not being on water. This doesn't work for me. So really, we have been in Yvonand. It's a spot in Lake Neuchâtel again. When there's the bees, it brings nice wave there in the south of the lake. And everybody was like stand up paddle downwind. And of course, it's cool. It's cool videos. You surf the waves. You have free hands. That's cool. I mean, you just have a little paddle. But very often the wind is shifty. The waves were not that good, and they were like struggling to go up on foil. And I think like no, when we have wind in Switzerland, it's not that rare, but I mean, I would like to have wind every day. So for me, it's even rare if it's twice a week. And I thought, no, I'm not going to lose any minutes trying to pump up or to paddle up and trying to or go back up by train. So I was skipping a little bit this stand-up paddle foil. I can imagine very well when you're living close to the ocean, you have some swell without the wind coming. You can paddle out, surf the waves. This I could imagine, but I'm so sticked on this wind sports that I skip this stand up paddle downwind, even if it looks cool, even if I would I should have maybe tried, but I never had the occasion to. And then now this weekend, Michi came with the idea, let's give it a try for the parawing. And it was funny because I went already upwind afterwards, went downwind is 5 kilometers back to where we started, and I could go upwind again. Of course, also the evolution of the material because there's so many parawings coming out now from every brand, and yeah, this new Roger was feeling for me very, very comfortable in my hands. I could try directly to go upwind. It was powerful. It was working very well. So this I could imagine that you have the parawing, surfing down, going up again, surfing down again, but I would never take the train.
All right, but let's imagine like there's no wind, you're in Port-Alban. You did some pump foiling, maybe, as you do sometimes, but then yeah, maybe it gets boring a little bit. Would you then like try to flat water paddle up? Would you do that?
I don't think so, because then you're flat water paddling up and pump foiling actually.
Yeah,
No,
but just to know if you were able, are you not curious if you're able to do it?
as a challenge, yeah, that's true. That could be that should be correct. Yeah, I should try it out. I will try it out
All
just for
right, good. So
the
when
challenge.
we go there and there's no wind, because we're gonna
All right.
do a guys, we're gonna do a, like a spot review of Port-Alban as they made this dock especially for pump foiling. You have to, I think it's like $50 a year you pay, then you can use it all the time, which I think is absolutely fair. And we said we're gonna do a spot review there. So if there's no wind at all and we did some pump foiling, I'm gonna bring my long downwind board and then we're gonna try, because I'm not able to do it. I think it's super hard. Like coordination wise, it's so difficult
I
because you
can
have to
imagine that's quite tricky, yeah.
balance is one thing, and I'm actually on my balance board right now. That's why I'm wobbling all the time. Maybe that helps, but then like coordinating the strokes with the feet, with the pumping, with the balance, everything, that's like the hardest thing I did so far. But for
Yeah,
you,
and narrow
maybe easy.
boards. Yeah. But we also have the possibility to go wake foiling behind the boat in a nice proper wave. So when there's flat water, really flat water, sunrise in the morning, super flat water like a mirror, it's quite tempting to take the boat and surf the wave behind the boat.
Let's do everything.
Yeah.
You're not gonna be, are you gonna be in Saint-Blaise?
That's just the time when we are in Rhodes, as we're leaving next Wednesday. We're not here yet, unfortunately.
In July, we talked about the parawings and the like the comfort and the V1 of the of ANZUS, the Roger. flaps the tips in when it's overpowered, or when I'm overpowered. The version 2 should be better. I'm gonna test, I have like 6 different kinds of Parawings, brands of Parawings that I can test in summer. I have the D-Wing from Flow, I have the Ozone, I have 2 Plumes actually that I will be able to test as well. The new Roger, what else? The BRM, the Kanaha. So I'm gonna try different Parawings to see which works best for an average rider like myself. You're not in any, by any chance, in Sela Plana in July.
We can arrange it.
Because usually it's windy there.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's true. But we can arrange it. But also, we have quite good winds coming also in the evening in Lake Neuchâtel during the summer.
Yeah, the Joran. That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you can work all day warm, and then in some the evening.
Yeah. Depends what kind of size of foils and wings or power wings you have. But I think it should work also there.
Yeah, definitely. Is that but something? Go ahead.
When I tried the first time now, it was really feeling so comfortable. Just like I said, the pumping up first was a bit strange because I had like nothing in my hands. Yeah. So the strokes, when you pull it up, it was pulling. Yeah. But when you let go, it was no power anymore. So that was a bit strange. But I tried like half an hour, and after we were going downwind. So that was really fine and really feeling very, very comfortable.
And I really think it's cool that you, when you hold it in your hand, it's really light. It's you have less in your hand than the wing. So that's really appealing.
Yeah, sure.
And I tried to plume, I held it on the beach, and that was even better because you had that stability while it's still being super light. So that's exciting.
And do you think it's really the same feeling going downwind as you, as we say, we're free hands?
No.
Yeah.
Definitely not. Yeah. Definitely not. Yeah. But, well, I'm going to have to try. I'm going to have to see what happens and build my own opinion about it, because you hear so much. And I remember I was a windsurfer and I saw kiting. I was like, bull crap. I'm not going to do that. And then I did it. It was fun. Then I saw wingers. And I was like, I'm never going to do that because that looks stupid. And then I did it. And it was super fun. Same with the Parawing, and I just stopped saying that things are stupid just because they're new, and I want to embrace it and try it out.
Now there's material for everybody. We make everybody come onto the water.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm still not sure about the motor. Have you tried foil drive at all?
Yeah, I've tried. Yeah, I've tried it actually. That's funny. Also, we've been not this February, the year before, we've been to the Master of the Ocean. Was a little fun competition also. That was really, really cool. We've been there with Edelweiss and the foiling team from Switzerland. And there was one day no wind at all, and still really nice waves, especially out there in Cabarete, out on the reef. There were some really nice waves coming. And the reef is deep underwater. You cannot touch it with the foil. Depends where you are, but there's some nice places where it's kind of safe. So there was one guy, he's living there half of the year. And I saw him cruising all the time around, catching some waves, and it was quite new, this foil drive. And I went to see. I just wanted to see actually the foil and the foil drive, the machine. And he said, oh yeah, it works like this, like this, like this. Go ahead, take my material and go for it. So I had half an hour time to try it out. And he said, yeah, I don't know if the battery is still holding long, so try a little bit and we'll see. And when I just had the hang out of it, when I knew how it works, the battery was empty. I said, no, that's a pity. So I came out and he said, well, I have 2 more batteries, let's change it. So he gave me his 2 new batteries, and then I was like 2 hours surfing around, catching some waves. And the cool thing there was really that you have some waves coming over the reef and you're surfing nonstop.
Yeah, that's, I think it's really fun, it actually depends on the use case, really. If it's windy, I would not use the foil drive. I used it like a couple of weeks ago when I was in the Netherlands as well at the Markermeer, just trying to surf the wave to find the bumps, because I had a shorter board. I might have been able to come on foil with the Parawing, but I was there with Dominic Hoskins from Foil Drive, and we had that session together, and it was super cool because it was so easy to get on foil, and then like trying to read the bumps, that was really something special, and Foil Drive was really perfect for that. But they're discussing about allowing it in Switzerland, and I'm not sure how I feel about it.
I've heard about it, yeah. True. For now, it was really forbidden all the time. I'm comparing a little bit with this time when started this blowing up stand-up paddle. There were a few stand-up paddle on the lakes before, like the hard boards, the real stand-up paddle, and suddenly came this fashion of fun stand-up paddle for everybody, for the family, which I like very much. It's very cool for the family to go on the water, spend some good time on the water. But then came also restrictions directly, as they were going everywhere into the nature reserve. And so with the e-foil, I don't know if it's going to be crowded everywhere. I don't know how it works with the rules of boats having the priority. And I've heard also that the pump foiling scene, the wake seething, people are catching the waves behind the boats, and it's also getting quite tricky as they're coming very close to the boats, they're crashing, they're falling. So it's true, there's a danger, or there's some limits to respect. And I'm a little bit afraid that if it's too much on the lake, sub-foilers, pump foilers, e-foilers, that it's getting messy, and suddenly we'll end up having really restrictions on our spots.
I see the same thing, but I don't see it. First, I thought, well, it's gonna be a problem because every other douche is gonna have something like that and it's gonna be in the way of everyone. But we have these rules that you have to be like 300 meter out, away from shore. That's not where swimmers are anymore. That's not
Yeah,
where
sure.
sup paddlers are anymore. And if you go out there in the flat, yes, of course, it can, the sound can be, the noise can be somewhat like annoying. But if there's wind, no one's gonna care at all. And it's
Yeah,
too
true.
expensive. It's not like a sup board now
Yeah.
where you can buy for a couple of a 100 bucks at Lundi, so it's not going to be
Yeah.
that big, I think. And it's also too difficult for
Yeah, okay.
everyone to use it, so I don't see it too much as a danger, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
We have some test days where it is allowed to make it in Switzerland, also in Portawangen on the Lake Neuchâtel, when there's the king of the lake, most of the time in September, and they have a race e-foil competition actually. So there's a group of e-foilers. They are going to train regularly in France, but for the competition and for these test days doing the king of the lake, they have the allowedness to try it out here on the Swiss lakes, and that's also where I tried it actually.
Is that just in a certain part of the lake or the whole lake?
No, in a certain part, really only in Portable, on the spot there. But they have like a huge area. They put some buoys on the water to make really a huge course, course. And yeah, it's quite cool also. And it's also for everybody to test out.
All
I
right,
will send you
so
the dates.
yeah, super cool. And if anyone is interested, because I have a foil drive at home at the moment that I'm going to use on vacation, I want to do some test days in summer on Lake Geneva. And I just talked to Benji. He has a spot very close to Basel where he can also foil drive. So if anyone listening or watching is interested in foil drive, hit me up and we can arrange some like test demo thing. Which and I mean, of course, it is fun having a motor motoring around. Of course, that's fun.
I will write you WhatsApp directly
All right,
to
good.
try it out.
Yeah. No, let's do it. Let's do it. It's gonna be fun. Yeah, for sure. And yeah, for the King of the Lake, that's also possible. Well, we're way over an hour already. I don't know, Gael somehow disappeared. Maybe because the internet connection was bad, or I didn't let him talk. Too much
Wind
Flo,
picked up. He had to go.
probably. No, he's not that much into wind sports yet. He's trying to the wing foil thing, but like just a couple of sessions that really worked. So Flo, is there anything else you want to address? You want to tell the listeners? I see if you have ENSYS hat. Maybe you can just quickly tell us what your job is at ENSYS, if you work for them or just write their stuff.
Yeah, I'm team rider for all the brands, MB Boards, ENSYS, Saurus, and now also Julbo for my sunglasses.
Ah,
So
that's new
just
though.
making, yeah, that's new. That's just for
Nice.
the Defi wing. So I was sure that there's sun and wind. It's not always the case here in Switzerland, so I got equipped with some nice sunglasses, and also for the winter, I'm going to be equipped with Julbo. And otherwise, if you see me, just hit me up, try my material, let's chat about it, let's talk about it. You can try all my gear on every spot, and yeah, have fun on the water.
That is so cool. Thank you very much, Flo, for coming on the show, for being so supportive throughout the whole like winging thing. I'm super thankful. And for the listeners, the viewers, the next episode, if everything works out, is with Mike Hucker. He's the creator of the Stand Up magazine, and he's in Hawaii. So if we figure out the time difference thing, he's going to be our next guest. If you have older episodes that you want to listen to, like the one with Michi that we talked about, check up uponflow.com. That's been it. Thank you very much, Flo. And see you on the water, man.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Bye.